Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Premier View podcast. You're joined by me, Kevin Ryan from St. Mary's, and today I'm joined with Enda Tracy from Tomb of Ara and Sean Smith from Turles Sarsfields. At the outset of today's pod, I just want to give condolences from everyone involved at the Premier View podcast to the family and friends of Dylan Quirk and his untimely passing. Not much more to be said, but you know, a delightful young fella and you know, a great servant to Tipperary hurling. So condolences there to on what was a tragic passing recently. On to the action, folks, and we will start with round with the County Senior Hurling Championship Group One. This was obviously Clonulty's group, so there is, I suppose, you know, an extra game played in this one, if you like, there. But just in the action at the weekend, it means that Mycarrick, we think, are going into relegation anyway, folks. Nina Aroe, Clonulty on 3 points, Nina with three games played, Clonulty with two. Curran there, if they beat Clonulty the next day, that they will go through and top the group as group winners. And you managed to see the action from this group over the weekend, lads, the games?
Yeah, I was at the Clonulty and Mycarrick game. A tough atmosphere before the match, with the minute silence, and you could see the Clonulty lads were really focused. In fairness, it was controlled aggression from them. Probably led the match by 2 or 3 points the whole way. Mycarrick kind of looked like they were threatening to get back into it a few times, but Clonulty always had the answers with a couple of scores. That's for them on today. Jimmy Maher was very good midfield. Connor Hammersley was good. And the Heffernan, their backs in general, were pretty good. It was a good 7 out of 10 performance, and just one they needed to get under the belt just to shake off everything that had happened the last few weeks. Fair play to them, got on hurling the match after all. That stuff going on was tough going, especially winning it is even an even better indictment to the lads that they have playing for them there. So it's Clonulty well-deserving winners in that one.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, you know, Clonulty now they have the second place, and the security of a provisional quarter-final anyway. So now I think after getting that game out of the way, they can really regroup and focus hopefully on the hurling for the foreseeable future. You know, Aroog, I suppose, I just seen the highlights of that game there, the undoubted highlight was a great, you know, Jake Morris kind of flick for the goal there. But, you know, that one was nip and tuck the whole way through, with Nina kind of just pulling away towards the end there. And that's a really significant result, I suppose. But it puts Kilrain under a right bit of pressure in that group now to go out and get a result in the one group match taking place in the final round of fixtures for that one.
Yeah, definitely. And look, they lost Craig Morgan as well. We heard the news there earlier today. He's another cruciate to add to the list, another injury. We'll be talking ourselves as to fill up the back line next year at this rate. Look, when you lose a player of that caliber at club level, it's going to be hard to replace. Kilrain, in fairness, like they have a good panel of 18-19, but once they're digging into their juniors, 20-21-22, their standard's going down a good bit, and you're not going to replace Craig too easily. So, you know, they have it all to do as well.
And arguably, you know, the performance of the round one with a 4-22 to 10-point win over Mycarkey, like, you know, it's going to be hard for them now to pick it up for the remaining campaign. As I said, Craig is a massive loss to any team.
Yeah, we were kind of saying it in the group after that match, like, not to get too excited, because they've threatened this over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. They pull off one big result in the group stages. They're really inconsistent. Now, in saying that, they were playing a team that are just as inconsistent in Nina. We've seen them getting beaten by Mycarkey pretty easily the last day, and then coming out and playing well to get the win they needed. But just too inconsistent. They can be unreal one day, the next day they're looking like they're relegation fodder, so you just don't know where you are with them. But look, they're going to need to win more than anyone the next day. It sets it up nicely for a good game. As you said, Naughty can have a free crack at that, knowing they have the backup of a preliminary quarterfinal. So, and Kilrain has it all to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I suppose that one of the games of the weekend took place in Group 2, Drumminch, Turles Sarsfields. Drumminch coming out on the better. It's been a bad week for Sean Smith, Turles Sarsfields. The surrendering year under-19 crown last night against a very good Holy Cross team as well. But Sean, you know, speaking of defenders that were missing there, you've had to do without Ronan Maher, I suppose, for the foreseeable future in that one as well. So can the Sarsfields recover, do you think?
Yeah, I was kind of going into the game. It's difficult going in without Ronan, and like, you know, Porrick has been this year, but first time in line out with either of Maher since 2005 or 2006. So lads had a step up, and to be fair, like, Drum just kind of had a good game plan. The two champions were on fire, and Fintan Purcell in the half back, like, they just, the white was out there at times. It could have been more ahead even. But I was saying, the big win we kind of got the first against Burris, and the way the group is shaping up, Burris had a big score difference, kind of their -6 or +6. So all we got to do the last account was beat Templary. Like, we know what to do our job and just get the win there on that. And that's ourselves true. But, like, you know, getting Burris win the first day, but disappointing result kind of going down so badly in the end as well.
Barra massive win for Burris over Drumminch. You know, in the last, you know, they're really, I suppose, you know, their season, you know, they were seen as a challenger, you know, a good backroom team coming off a recent county final win. But, you know, that opening day result against Sarsfield, you know, that's very costly. And I suppose not just the actual result itself, but as you said, the score difference now, which may come into play. You know, Temple Derry, you know, decent team, but they definitely drew the short straw going into that group, I think, you know, with three challengers for Dan Breen there. And yeah, it looks like Boris have it all to do in that final game.
Oh, Boris got to do is even just go out today, next Sunday week, and just hurl, not even worry about the other game. Just win their game and then, you know, see what happens down the line. Because, oh, when we're trying to hear lads side running, us, Temple Area 3-0, or Sarah's are 1-0, you know, like, kind of get into players' heads, go out and win the game and just get the scores on the board then, and whatever happens, happens then.
Even if they don't go through, they'll want to be winning that match anyway. Even if they're knocked out, it makes no difference, like, local derby like that. But look, they just shot themselves in the foot the first day against Turles. They were right behind the eight ball straight away after that. And with the group, the way it lined up, with Temple Derry, in fairness, being the weaker team, you could see everyone else getting the points off of them, and then score difference been working against them, and that's the way it's turning out.
Yeah, they're 24 points behind Drum, which is massive. Like, no, you look at overall, like, that's, you know, the first day killed you. It's always, you get to win the first day, and if you're playing the first, not even to lose badly, that's always thinking back to people's heads as well, you know, give yourself a chance.
Hmm. Yeah, any chance for Temple Derry in the last day? And I know, Sean, you were going to say there, but
no, there's no chance, not for me anyway. They just, look, they're well capable of registering big scores, but they're leaking way too many of themselves. I think the first day they conceded 230 against Drum, and they conceded 29 points last day as well, and only for Tim McCutcheon, had shipped a few goals as well. He made a few great saves there the last day. So look, as you said at the start of it, they just got dealt a raw deal of a draw. Like, if I remember thinking before the draw happened of the teams you'd want to get in your group and the teams you wouldn't want to get, and they literally got the three teams out of each pot. That was the worst case scenario. So look, they'll be just hoping to do the business in the relegation.
Look, absolutely. I don't want to put them into the relegation just yet, because we'll get all the Temple Derry kind of the fan club kind of saying, well, we're not technically in relegation yet if they had a win in their final game. But like, yeah, I think maybe just a good performance against Sarsfield's regroup, and you know, if they want to test a few new defensive structures, probably Sarsfield's coming to town in the final game is the place to do it, to see can they improve there, because you know that's definitely the issue.
But yeah, even the fact that Turles got bet the last day makes it even worse, because they'll be going out bald headed to put up a big score and get the win. Like, so there'll be no holding back. If they'd be drummed last day, maybe they might have held back a bit and give Temple Derry some bit of a chance. But I'd be fearing for that one, to be honest, if I was Temple Derry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that drum looking, you know, can't always be talking about Sarsfield, but like drum look very, very strong. I was very impressed with like Sir John Campion, like on Sunday. He looks a real player, and I'm sure Liam Cahill is looking at him as well. But you know, drum, you know, I was a bit dubious over their form kind of this year. You know, I thought that they'd, you know, kind of gone back a bit over previous years. But yeah, it's they look, I'm not going to say, call them the real deal, but they definitely look a challenger in what looks a wide open Dan Breen now.
Yeah, they do. They're savagely fit. It's hard to believe how much hard running they get you in the game. Stevie Nolan's been an absolute revelation, putting back in the half-back line. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he was there ever, Sean, was he, for them at club level?
I don't think so.
He was in the forwards.
The half-back line is where everything came from last thing. Yeah. See it even looking up from the stands. That's driving forward behind them. And they're offshore and running. Their half-back line is running onto the ball as well, going forward as well. It's
looking like it's the only thing that might catch them if they have to do that every game going out, and they put in such effort, such hard yards in the game. Like, that half-back line gets you some workload. Fintan Purcell must have...
Yeah, you know, that's why the incentive of actually topping the group and being in without any questions asked, you know, avoiding the preliminary quarterfinals is massive, because when you've so many teams in and around the same standard or can beat each other on the day, like, you know, it's very stiff ask to win a Dan Breen having four knockout games, I think, and maybe having to go to the well in each of them.
Yeah, but we have to caveat the match the other day as well. The Turtles are missing a lot of players, like a lot of good players as well. Ronan, and I know Stephen Cahill came on, but he looked a bit off the pace. Mikey Cahill has to come back. You know, they're not...
How much of those would they be realistically getting back? I think you could probably write off Ronan for the campaign. Could you, Sean? Or
I think
I'll be seeing him yet somewhere. Not saying that, no. Keep you all guess.
That's the Morris Park, is he? Kind of...
And one or two of our lads were actually sick, because I think Dennis Mayer wasn't feeling great on Sunday. Well, he's something wrong with him. So I was sure. You have to get through these games, and we've never chance any. That's the only thing, like, you know, it was a knockout game, so we can go again.
Yeah. No worries. We're going getting. We'll move on to Group 3. So the group of dwarves.
I was talking about picking the group I wanted before the championship started, and I probably would have picked that group as well. To be fair.
Absolutely. So I had to look at this, make sure it wasn't a Seamus O'Regan group there. When it was first. No, in all seriousness now, for a very level group here. Upper Church look like they do have their work done. Two wins from two have been very impressive after probably a disappointing end to their North campaign there. Losing the Brackens. Oh yeah, mid campaign. Sorry.
The North have enough teams, jeez.
I'm looking at two of them next, and I'm still wondering how they ended up drawing them on the horn or whatnot. So like the arithmetic here is kind of slightly easier. So Holy Cross to avoid relegation need to beat Mulnahone to go through need to beat Holy Cross and hope then that they have a nice turnaround on the score difference with Tomb of Arra. So that would involve Tomb taking a beating off Drummond Inch, who need to beat Tomb of Arra to win the group, and I think it's as simple as that. I've everything in there.
Yeah, straightforward enough. Haven't seen Upper Church yet this year, but judging by the score lines, they've been comfortable enough, full value to be top of the table. Look, bar the ghost goal, we probably should have beaten Mulnahone. Even without that, we should have had them beaten before that was even in the equation. So that was disappointing. Look, we didn't play well either the other day either. So it's not like we're hurling a full tilt, but it's good to be going into the final round with an opportunity to top the group. And if you pull off a performance, then it sets you up nicely for knockout hurling.
How did Brian O'Mara hurl for across the lane?
He was decent, yeah. He can hurl better than he did, in all fairness. It's like it's going to be a steep difference between hurling out and where was he, Chicago there, a few club games where the lads were after coming off the beer for a couple of days and hurling in 30-degree heat and going back to the club campaign. So, look, he was tidy enough. Kind of held his position. Jack Delaney was centre-forward. Now he scored 5 points. But, you know, that's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Position these days of centre-back, you can't follow your man. If you follow your man, you're leaving space. So Jack just got into those pockets and picked off his scores. But he was okay. Yeah, he was good enough.
It's a long layoff then for Mullaghone. You know, they played, I suppose, the Friday night of the original round two games. So, you know, they'll have 4 weeks now before their last game. So they will have a chance. You know what? Ended up being a 9-point defeat against Upper Church. But, you know, I think Upper Church were always well on top in that one. You know, I suppose from with my South cap on, I'd really like Mullaghone to kind of to win and stay up Dan Breen. So we still have a South Senior Championship next year. Like, you know, that's a caveat. And that as long as none of the other South teams, which could well happen, kind of win the Seamus O'Regan. But yeah, it'd be great to still have one up there at least. But that'll be a real dogfight in the last round there, I think, Holy Cross and Mullaghone.
Yeah, and in fairness to Holy Cross, they hurled well for large parts of the match against us. Like, I think they're just missing a few scoring forwards. They're missing Joe Caesar the last day. He was all injured. I know he's young and he's only been in the forwards this year, but he's got good ability and he's another lad that could tip over the points. Way too reliant on Dara Woods. He was doing most of their scoring. I think he finished with about 12 or 13 points or more. So, look, that's 60, 70, 80% of their scores. So, they'd need a bigger spread than that, but look, they have the match under the belt, as you said. Mullaghone have a fair break, so they might come in a bit undercooked, and that's where maybe Holy Cross could reap the benefits.
Yeah, and on that Holy Cross, the forwards, they'll have a few forwards come up in a few years after 19s. I saw last night, like, Dale Fogarty, Robbie Ryan, Joe Caesar playing, so, like, they have talent coming through, like, you know, and these lads will be there next couple of years, step in for sure.
Yeah, if they just stay afloat for a few years, well, let's get these young lads through, they'd be delighted with that.
You fear for the expectation that Robbie Ryan is going to have in his shoulders by the time he actually hits 18, 19. I mean, geez, lads going away talking wonders, like, you know, after kind of under 17 games and the like. But he's, you know, young lad, great, you know, great ability, like, fantastic. But geez, he's going to have some expectation by the time he hits the kind of the under 17s. You know, I know he's on the panel this year, but, like, you know, kind of he's going to, you know, it's serious potential, like, so.
Was Matt Hurley and Tony Forrest let the weekend that we've been talking about for the last 2 years, and Sean wanted him to jump up a grade?
I didn't even know. I was like, God, we had a red being done. I was kind of getting confused. All the grades.
Under 14, under 15, or?
Yeah, there's all the clubs that come different throughout all the years. Like, you know, a lad is under 5. Yeah. Was he under 5 2 years ago? He's under 13 1 year ago. Now he's 15.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the last group, group four again. So this is Kildangan on top with kind of 3 points. Bracken's there after, I suppose, a good comeback against Lochmore at the weekend there on two, joined by their mid-neighbours Lochmore on two, and Aero bringing up the rear on 1 point, but definitely not out of it as well. So last set of fixtures there, you'd have Aero with a free swing, arguably, against the county champions, Lochmore, and Bracken's against Kildangan. So potentially, you know, Kildangan, if they win that, they win the group, obviously. Lochmore need to beat Aero, you'd think, to go through. And, you know, if an Aero win really throws the cat amongst the pigeons.
It's a savagely tight group. I seen Kildangan and Aero, in fairness to them, they're dogs for hard work. Look, similar to Holy Cross, they just can't get scores together to be troubling teams. Like, they're the last day against Kildangan, they had 40-45 minutes. They're only a point or two down. And no fairness, Kildangan were playing terribly. Like, they hit 13 wides in the first half. Couldn't hit the side of a barren door the way they were shooting. But like they had them there, like they had them in that area that they could maybe cause an upset. Aidan Griffin missed a few frees that maybe would have drawn them level, even put them ahead if he had to nail them. But once Kildangan got a run at them, then a few scores down the last 10 minutes, it was a game over. Look, they're a fair club, in fairness, with what they have. They make full use of it, but like, is there a chance there the next day? Lochmore aren't going 100% either. If it was a dirty day, maybe you never know. But
they're stumbling, like, they're stumbling through the group there. Like, you know, like, this group has kind of stumbled through it in such a way. Like, Bracken should have won that game. You know, it's silly free at the end, high tackling. They could have had a few scores before that again. Like, and even the previous day, Killangan, to be honest, like, as you say, bad wise against Lochmore could have bet them, you know. So, like, Lochmore, I think, going to do enough and get through it. Like, and do,
you know, they're still relying on Noel some savage amount. Like, he pulled them through that match, like, in the second half. Yeah. He wasn't like, there, you know, bother.
But like, the first 20 minutes or so, they looked very good, but just Bracken's just managed to stay in that phase of the game. And I said the second half, you could see it happen, you know, they just eventually got their noses in front. But you know, it's a stupid simple free at the end, kind of give Lochmore a chance. They took it, and it just really changes the complexion of that group now, because that would have put, you know, Lochmore on the brink of elimination. But now, you know, they, as I said, like, they have a game they should win in the last game that'll put those put them through.
They know if they want to slack more, like, go and win the match next bit, like, you know, they'll
come through. You know, I said, if they lose against Aaron Hogan and Carty, it's down there with the worst county championship defences of all time, two draws and a defeat. Like, even allowing for injuries. So,
it was a poor old match, though. Like, I know Brackens have their way of playing and it suits them, and in fairness, they're getting some results with it. But it was hard to watch at times the way they were playing. I know we talk about football teams maybe adding that to their hurling game a bit, but geez, they're overdoing it on occasion. It was just awful to watch.
That's the way to go, and like, you know, underage as well, like, against Holy Cross 19 as well, they're a few points down at half time, and just that kind of defensively sweep or whatever you want to call it. You know, I lost them well in the end, but it's just something that's right there, and it works. You say it works some days, and when it works, then it's effective, and it drives nice teams. Like, you know, got them back into a match against Lochmore. They were about 5 or 6 in the board before Brackens even kind of neutered in the game, and then they kind of steady shape and just flicked them off to the end.
Yeah, I think, you know, they might be too reliant on Andrew Ormond up front as well, if you could close down the space in front of them. But as you said, look, they're actually guaranteed a preliminary quarter final as well. Looking at the table here, they'd have, I don't want to kind of say it, but I think they avoid relegation now. They're on 2 points, drawn two games. So, depending on, Errogan and Carty would have to.
Errogan beat. Errogan beat Lochmore, and Bracken's in if to lose.
Yeah, so, and whoever would lose that by the most would go into the relegation then between Bracken's and Lochmore. So, it's probably unlikely that they'll be in relegation and they'll have a free swing at a prelim quarter final. So, reflections on the group stages. I heard a few given out about maybe the standard of the games. I enjoyed them both, to be honest, on Sunday. You know, the tightness of the Brackens Lochmore game, and maybe, you know, the drum one I thought was a bit higher standard, but, you know, people were flip flopping on that as well. But reflections overall in the group stages, as you know, as we head into the final round now, any team really catching your eye? Kildangan going about their work in a quiet fashion. Sarsfield's under a bit of pressure.
Drum, to be fair, I said at the start, they'll be the kind of team motor in that group, and they showed that. Like, but then the other teams, we said, like Kildangan ourselves, like, they'll kind of, we'll get through the groups if we can, you know, to win the last day. But is there any kind of team outside the top ones that are kind of showing anything extra? I don't think there is. Like, you know, Upper Church, good mid, continue that as well. You know, like, so.
Yeah, because you'll have the Upper Church, they'll be 5 points up in a preliminary quarter final. You look at your phone 5 minutes later and they lost by 2 after injury time or whatever, like, you know, so you just think it's always going to end, you know, in tears for them. Like,
yeah, the highlight of it is it's such an even championship. It's probably as even as it's been in a very long time. Probably injuries are even in the score, but obviously if Lochmore, John McGrath, and a few other hurlers there, you might be putting them out front. They'll probably be hurling a bit better. Look, John, like, I think I heard the other day, out of last year's championship, he scored 772 or something in all the games, which is just absolutely bonkers. Like, taking that off a team is ridiculous. Kildangan aren't motoring well. I know they tend to pick it up as the knockout games come, but just looking at them the last day, there's something not going right for them. It's just not clicking. So with that in mind, like, you know, you have 4, 5, 6 teams realistically that could probably be touted as winning it. So that's probably a good thing, really.
And there's a lot of teams, well, kind of the front groups where the teams have won divisions, that could be in the back of the head of the teams, well, you know, like, you're saying, you want to win every game, but when you have that kind of fallback, or can get through the primary anyway, you know,
And it's been disjointed enough as well, Sean, like, just with everything that's gone on the last few weeks as well, we've kind of had to stop and start, and you don't know how to approach these breaks when you're not, you know, legislating for them in all the setups, you know, so. Well, I think even for ourselves, we had 3.5 weeks where the management decided not to play a challenge match. So you could tell we were rusty as well. So it all adds to it, you know.
Yeah, I say it'll get going. Come knockout, they'll be cracking games. No one, they'll be even hell. Like, I couldn't predict any teams have been less for now to be possible, I think.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look, avoiding that prelim quarterfinal is key. And, you know, just kind of setting your sights at the end of September for a quarterfinal. That's what you really want to be done. All right, folks, thanks for that. We'll move on to the Senior B now.
Because we're not primary to media, you mean, is it?
As long as Mullinahone are in the Danbury, it's senior. As long as there's a South rep. So we play in the South Senior Championship. So
off of your group then, Kevin. Lovely team of 4 points. Like, not many teams on 4 points overall. Like, no one in senior.
The Lighters, two from two. So good workman, like, win over Sean Tracy's, because 219-216 off the top of head. You know, with Tracy's, like, you always have to bring the dogs of war, like, against them. They just compete so well for ball and all the rocks and the dirty ball. So absolutely delighted to go out and get the 2 points there. You know, got a good start. Peter McGarry kind of rifled in a lovely goal and picked it up. We stretched it out. I'd say we were winning by 6 or 7 points on a couple of occasions. But look, Tracy's are never bet, like, until you're out the gap. So they did come back strong. But yeah, absolutely delighted with kind of good few performances. We lost that Kyle Dealey, I think, made a bit of a difference to us. He was hurling very well inside, so he went off at 6.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
About 20 minutes or so, they kind of might have started coming back at us a bit then. But yeah, I mean, look, we're fairly sure on that one that we're true as group winners, which again, you know, is like when you're losing heavily against the Swan, like in May or in June, like, you know, it's been some turnaround, and fair play to the lads there. You know, some great performances there, but, like, you know, on that one, it's, you know, we're only where we want to kind of really be now in a quarter final. So hopefully we'll have to step it up again. But, like, behind us then, you have Newport with a good comeback win. I was watching that one on Twitter. Like, it was, you know, kind of nip and tuck all the way. But what's key there is that they turned around the big scoreline as well. So they got a, you know, they kind of pulled away at the end to win by 4 points. So that could be, you know, that could be crucial in the in the next round as well. So they play Sean Tracy's, and we play Burgess in the final round. So, like, for us, I suppose there's not too much on the line, but Burgess have to win to stay out of the relegation, and whoever wins between Newport and Sean Tracy's has a great chance of going through. So it's straightforward for Newport. If they win, they go through.
I caught the second half of that match, Kevin. Conor Mahoney, not even them in the programme, hadn't played a match all year, comes on full forward, and he caused havoc. set up a goal, scored a goal, set up a heap of points. He actually turned the match from unreal.
That's it, because you saw it against us. They were fighting, you know, in the game, in the mix of the last 5 minutes, they made a very good comeback. But, like, yeah, they're not to kind of make the ball stick. So Conor will give you that in the full forward line now. So that could be an inspired decision for them going forward. I would fancy him, you know, in that game against Tracy's, just to kind of dog it out there. But like you know, not certain in the Orion.
And that game's in Semple, is it?
Yeah, that's in Semple, yeah.
Yeah, so great match, yeah.
Exactly. It's on at 2 o'clock. It's on a Saturday too, so all the lads can head off to Electric Picnic after. So
the knockout games for all the world, not is.
You would think it is, like, yeah. So again, like, the potential to Tracy's could well end up in relegation as well. So we move on to Group 2, I suppose, arguably, you know, two very good performances from the pre-tournament or pre-championship favourites, Ross Gray. You know, I suppose they were expected to win their first game versus Kildangan, second team, but, you know, they kind of beat Silver Mines well at the weekend just gone there. So that puts them on 4 points. Silver Mines and Mine will play a glorified preliminary quarter final, I suppose, in the next game, if I have my right. And then Kildangan on 0 points looks set for a relegation battle from this.
Yeah, it's two boys have Kildangan on head to head, isn't it? So no matter what they do, they're bottom of the group. Baron, no, it has to be bottom of the group, isn't it, Jess? So, yeah, in fairness, Kildangan, they've had a tough year at that grade. They're losing a lot of lads to the first team for much of the early part of the year, which probably set them back a good bit.
It's Kildangan, Silver Mines in the last group.
That's grand. But look, if they can stay in the grade, they'd be more than happy with that. A lot of young lads getting a lot of good game time, so. It's like a development grade, another development grade for them, like for bringing the young lads through out of underage. So it's playing at that level is going to bring lads on a savage amount. Ross Gray's starting to get up ahead of steam after starting the year slow. I think they were looking to get past Silvermines in the North Championship, so they'll be delighted that they could kind of cruise through that one and got the win under the belt. So, you know, they've more to come, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that they won the under-19 there in the North on Wednesday night. So it was obviously, you know, they have a good pipeline of players coming through. But, like, look, and I don't think that they'll blow teams away like, you know, Temple Derry did last year. But, you know, they're definitely kind of a team to beat, I think, so far. You know, coming down from good recent Dan Breen experience, kind of good young players. So they're the profile of the team that you would typically do well in the 4E. And, like, so, and yeah.
Alan Tynan came on as well yesterday, back from injury. So great addition back.
That definitely, like, could be a missing link from there. But, you know, Silver Mines, then probably, you know, the old kind of failings. I think Jason Ford did a lot of scoring from that game again. So, you know, again, it was nip and tuck, and then they just, Ross Gray pulled away again. And that, you know, the thing about Silver Mines is if the team gets too far away from them, they might be relying a bit too much on Ford kind of place balls to kind of bring them back into it. So, you know, look, they'll have a chance to qualify for a prelim quarter final as well, which I think would be a good return for them this year as well, and take from there.
Yeah.
Go on. We'll hit, go back to the senior there. The group three now. So, you know, this one's wide open as well for the final place. Gartnahu, they have their business done. Gartnahu on 4 points after a great win against Sarsfield's second team. Kilnall come back after being serious under pressure after losing their first game versus Gartnahu. They had a good win over Ballina. They were quite impressive there. Sarsfields and Ballina both have 1 point on this, but I make it, Sean, if Sarsfields beat Killinall in the final group games, and if Gartnahu beat Ballina, that's yourselves true.
Yeah, I have to get the win on the board there, and hope we have a score difference going to play as well if Ballina do get a win over Gartnahu there, because they have to draw with Ballina. So we have a chance going in, like, you know, lads know what to do. Again, it's a hard grade for a second team. Who were good against us today, they cleaned us 5 goals. We scored 3-21 and still got bet by 6 points. You know? So at that level, it was a cracking game, end-to-end stuff. And as you said there, it's a fair competitive grade. Like, Kilnall got Morton there last weekend. You know, they needed that big win against Ballina, and I thought Ballina against those were sticky enough. So, you know, they held them well to 3-13. So Kilnall got going, and by all accounts, Bubble stepped in. And, like, at this grade, if you've lads like his talent, you can go to town, like, you know, in such a way, like, you need to make a difference.
Bubbles got 2-11, Mikey Breen, then for Ballina got 2-7. So, you know, it was the battle of the county players, or the recent county players as well there. So, yeah,
Breen was quite against us as well. So, you know, he stepped up then that day, like, you know, so makes some difference then when them lads go. But who are flying it? And
Ballina, like, another, you know, they're in, you know, a North final there, under 19, won't read too much into it. But, like, you know, that Stephen O'Brien coming on from a, are they kind of punching, You know, below their weight kind of thing?
They are, and it's not just a recent thing that their underage teams are going well. Like, they've been producing fairly good teams every few years now for the last 10 years. They have a savage under 15 team coming up at the minute. So, like, you know, the repopulation out there, like, there's a big boom in the GA over there. Like, they're getting great numbers over there. They're probably another few years out. Like, I wouldn't say they're reaching their peak yet. But, like, they need to be staying at this grade and staying competitive, like, because, you know, it can be awkward coming up through the ranks when you have lads coming through the system as well.
They probably got trickier groups as well, the smaller groups, so they know, not just kind of boasting ourselves, but it's in, like, you know, McKinnon and a good Gartnahu team who've transformed, you know, and the third Saturday, second team at odds, with a few lads falling back from senior race. So, you know, if you can do case, stay at the grade is crucial for him now at this stage.
Yeah, like, probably, you know, got the Killinall on the day that nobody wants to get Killinall, you know, when they're under pressure to perform. And, you know, looking down that Killinall team, they do seem to have got a good few of their injured players back as well. So, you know, if they do get over Saturdays, they're going to be as big a threat as anyone, you know, for the championship. I think, like, you know, they seem to be kind of coming back to a bit of form as well.
Bit flaky, Kevin. Bit flaky.
Absolutely, but look, Killinall, they could just turn it on.
Yeah. We finally got Nap on you with him anyway, so thanks to God. You won't say we all lose all year.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a penny on him normally, but yeah. And the final group then, I suppose one of the other, I suppose, most noted challengers, Cashel, with a, you know, a very good win over Port Rowan day two, Clonakenny then. But I suppose I'm going to call it a surprise win over Carrick Swan. Yeah. Carrick Swan are consigned to relegation now in that group based on the having lost to Port Rowan and Clonakenny, so it doesn't matter what they do in the last game. It does give us the funny situation where the relegation in this grade is going to have to be delayed until the until Carrick Swan's involvement in the Orion kind of championship element ends. You know, if it ends in defeat, they'll go into relegation. If not, I don't know what'll happen. You have Tom Maher probably flicking through the fucking manual there. I wonder.
Like, after Carrick having the South win, you know, like, you wonder, bottom of the group and 0 points, and, like, you don't want to end up winning the title and end up having to fight relegation then, like, you know.
It's the South Championship in a nutshell, isn't it? Yeah. they bet you handy in the South. Now you're top of your group, they're in relegation. They beat Mullinahone in the South final.
The greatest championship on earth, basically. The greatest championship on earth. It's anything could happen. The romance of the South Senior Hurling Championship, so. So that's probably what happened. They probably had a good week or two after the South Senior Championship, so maybe they weren't as focused as they could be for this. And, you know, you only have to be a few percentages off to, you know, to kind of get, they lost a tight game against Port Row, probably could have got a draw out of the Clonakenny game. I didn't see that result coming at all. Clonakenny, they hurled well for 40-45 minutes against Cashel, you know, who then kind of had a good comeback win against them in a low scoring affair. But for them to, I think what it was, a 320?
Yeah.
320 they put on Carrick, you know, that's an alarm bell score.
But yeah.
We were kind of saying Keane O'Dwyer they're probably a bit too reliant on him, but he's, he hurled well and there's a few lads hurled well around him. Nicky Ryan, I don't think, was playing the last day he came in. He was hurling for four. I think he got two goals. So, you know, it's a great win for Clonakenny.
Yeah, I suppose Cashel sit on top of that. Looks like they'll go through in first place. You know, a lot of talk about Cashel last year, I suppose, with the transfers and that, but I think a lot of people were expecting maybe, you know, that the, you know, they'd be better kind of this year, and they are kind of showing that maybe a more settled team now. Kind of worked out where to put the lads. You know, Devin Ryan seems to be doing on the freeze, kind of scoring well from there. They still have, you know, Aaron Brown out the field kind of this year as well, which is another change. So they seem to have bedded him in a bit more. Jar Brown seems to be getting 3-4 points every game from, you know, and he's a massive addition, you know, at this grade. So.
Yeah, it's kind of out their business, aren't they, really? Just at the moment, just getting through.
They pulled Jar out the field as well. He was in full forward against Clonakenny, and it just doesn't work there. He needs space. He needs to be running onto ball.
He runs onto ball, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, they had him on centre forward the last day, and he had Gooch Byrne a fair run around. He was couldn't track him around the field, so that's tailor-made for Jar. Space in the stadium, he's going to go to town.
Absolutely wide open, that one as well. So, We leave that there. There's no point in even calling them the Orion, I suppose, at this stage, because it lot will be dependent on the draw, who avoids those preliminary quarterfinals and who gets, you know, who gets kind of a bit of a lucky draw
to get into
semi-finals.
Swan to win it. Relegation to be played under lights in Dr. Morris Park in November would be and all the lads kind of give it out of it. Some split season, we're still going. And then the South Under 21 Championship being played in its traditional spot in early 2023, as a result of St Mary's Swan in a semi final on Stevens' Day.
It's a strange situation in for teams that will be in the relegation. Like, wait, if Swans are there, like, you know, like, kind of, are we out in 2 weeks' time? Are we out in 4 weeks' time? Are we out in 10 weeks' time? Do you train? Do you not train? Like, you know, it's. Some teams are going to feel hard done by on it, for sure.
Yeah, and like the quarterfinals, I think, aren't due until the 28th of September. So,
yeah, it's
you know, if you win that preliminary quarterfinal, relegation, it'll be at least 1 week. So, Yeah, I mean, if you like, you're waiting a long time there.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah. I'm looking. You know, maybe Burgess or Tracy's in there. That'd be a long wait. Killadangan B. Like, how much appetite will wait? Will they now look? They could be. I suppose the good thing there is that they'd be training away with their Dan Breen team, so they might be able to kind of keep at it. But you know, maybe kind of Ballina, maybe Sarsfield yourselves, like so.
Yeah.
You know, I think appetite and that kind of could go into it as well. Now we'll go to the most important championship of the whole lot, the intermediate.
Or as Colin calls it, the fake intermediate.
junior intermediate. We won't talk about off the field issues, I suppose, with the one club making the front page of the Nationals, where you never really want to be. I'll have no more anti-South bias on this podcast, but Group 1, Moneygall are true with 4 points. Ballingarry and Capawife will play a preliminary quarter-final, for want of a better word, and Ballybacon, having lost both of those two, are in their familiar position in relegation. Seen a bit of Ballybacon this year, so like, yeah, they're kind of, their major concern is still kind of scoring, heavily reliant on a kind of direct style. Capawife had a good win over them now, so again, Ballingarry saw in the South final against Kilsheelan, they were very disappointing. And Sean, have you seen Moneygall there? They seem to have, you know, a very good handle, two good wins in this group, so they could be one for the championship outright.
No, I haven't seen them now, but I've been keeping an eye on them, and you know, they have Joe Fogarty back, and he seems to be making a big difference. Like, at any rate, if you have two prolific forwards, never mind intermediate, if Joe Fogarty and Sean Connelly, like, They're savage forwards to have at this grade, and put a big score the last day. They'll be happy with where they're at, like, they're going in the right direction anyway. And a young enough team, a very young team, really. A lot of their underage is starting to come to fruition. They're producing a few good players off every team. So, you know, they're going the right way. It'll be hard to stop.
Yeah, give Cap White a bit of a chance against Ballingarry in that last game. Our old friend Michael would be delighted with that. But yeah, you know, that it's. They have a little bit of a they have a chance in that one, and they'd be delighted then to get through on that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Mike, the way Mike could go on, he's the poor mouth. They'd never give him a chance in any game. But look, we'll go to the south tip. Blackguards again been real flaky. Ballingarry are certainly in that category. If you can get under their skin, look. We've seen that they can lose the heads a bit, so they'd probably be have that in their mind going into that game. So, yeah, that'll be a right game actually, won't it?
Absolutely. And you know, this championship is so competitive. We go on to the next group. So you know, Skeheen or Inky, who opted out of playing Ballingarry in the South semi final, like so, and it seems to work for them because they're two from two in the county. Haven't got up from the Junior A last year, so they lead that group. You know, they had a very good win over Knockavilla. We have 2 points. Ballinahinch are also on two, and Boris Kane, I suppose I'd say, surprisingly sit bottom of that group on 0 points. Bad luck for the North on that.
Yeah, and Skeheen or Inky aren't tainted by having played South Hurling as well, so that's probably why they're going so well.
I mean, their run.
But yeah, very surprising Boris Kane are down there. You know, at the start of the year when we were doing previews, you'd have probably fancied them to be at least in the top two. It's not going well for them for whatever reason. Ballinahinch are. Their team really going backwards. They're just not producing the players, so we're not too surprised at where they are. But yeah, Skeheen or Inky, Jesus, they're a real surprise package.
Yeah, I honestly didn't see that coming. That result against Kickhams at the weekend or their first result. So Ballinahinch players is always numbers is always going to be their issue. Maybe it is catch them up a bit on that, but you know that win against Boris Kane means that they'll have them on the head to head anyway. So they're. They should be safe there anyway, at least, you know. So
yeah.
Good to, really to go up and just show like a team can go up and hold their own top of group and not be fighting relegation less, you know. Like it's, I thought maybe a step, especially this group, might be a step for them too much, but they've shown they can keep it at this level.
Yeah, it is like you know, it does show. Like, look, I don't want to say about the old kind of like I do think there is scope for kind of. You know, greater movement between the divisions. Maybe have two up, two down, because I think the teams that now you'll say Temple Derry and they're getting floggings kind of in the first couple of games, but I think with 16 team championships, it might keep things a bit fresher. But yeah, for Skaheen, just taking them in isolation, you know, it's been a very good introduction. They have yo-yoed a bit between the two grades, intermediate and junior, so hopefully they can make it stick now. You know, they have a nice setup down there, like down in South Tip. So, you know, they do have, you know, they'll be solid enough underage kind of in the B competition. So they do have enough to keep them there. And the group three, I suppose, a bit of a surprise package here with Drum, second team top in the group. Again, two wins from two. Kilsheelan, who were the first seeds in this, sit behind them on 3 points, having drawn their first game with Shannon Rovers, who have 1 point, and Arrowvale Rovers have lost both their games, I suppose, but did put in a decent enough performance then at the weekend against Kilsheelan. So, you know, scored 3 goals, lost by 6 or 7 points. But Arrowvale, I suppose, again, another club maybe in previous years, their main focus will be staying up this year.
Yeah, definitely same story again. It's probably going along expected lines. I know, like, you don't know what team you're going to get from Drum every year with your second team. I mean, we'll be playing with our first team, but geez, they've been competitive with this grade for a long enough time now. Who's their standout players for that, Sean? Who are they playing on that team?
A few of the Butters and Draw. All seniors, like, they all train together. So, like, you know, when their main team is going well, it feeds down. That's the thing, like, with them.
You look at some of their peers there, Sires, Kildangan, you know, have won that competition in recent years. So, you know, it wouldn't be unheard of for, you know, a team, second team, to kind of get up there. So
they won't stick and hold. Like, the main thing is, the ones that senior A's don't lose 2 or 3 injuries and lose 2 or 3 or main B's, that makes some difference. Like, the years we got to final and won, it made some difference. Just having consistent 17 or 18 lads that were at that level, like.
Yeah. In the last round of fixtures there, so it's the bottom two, it's Shannon Rovers and Arrowvale. So Shannon Rovers need to win that and win that well to kind of trouble and hope that kind of Kilsheelan lose to Drummond Inch in the last game. Arrowvale, for them, if they beat Shannon Rovers, they will avoid relegation and Shannon Rovers will finish bottom of the group. And for Drummond Inch, then it's simple, Drummond Inch Kilsheelan game. If Kilsheelan win that game, they top the group on 5 points. Drummond Inch will be on 4. If Drummond Inch win or draw, they'll top the group.
Kilsheelan have a preliminary as well, guaranteed.
Yeah, so they have that in the bag already. Like, so.
Yeah.
Next game, next group, so is group four. So
beyond Stephen, when we need him now.
Yeah.
Still, cutting grass or something.
Still having nightmares of Laura players running past them, I'd say, going on the score there.
Laptop.
Yeah, I suppose definitely the talking team of this competition have been Laura. You know, have been, you know, two from two. We'd expect them to win their last game as well. In behind them, you know, Stephen was adamant that the Favins, you know, they sit on 0 points, but they can still qualify with a good win in their last game over Golden. So, you know, they had a disappointing, you know, a high scoring defeat against Borland there in their second game. Laura and you know, two from two. Like, it, they look like, you know, they're motoring really well. Ken Hogan back in charge seems to be getting a good tune out of him. Ravaged with injuries last year, so.
Yeah, Ken, in fairness, anywhere he's gone now, he gets a good tune out of him, especially his home club. Like, the only thing you could say could derail them is that they're just breezing through the matches so easily, somebody could catch them in the quarterfinal, the semi-final. Look, it looks like it's there for them to be won. If they can just produce 8 out of 10, like, it'll be very hard to stop. Orlan, by all accounts, lucky enough to get over Carrick. A few lucky goals, seemingly. So, you know, it'd be hard to see any other outcome other than the top two as it is now.
Do Devon's not need a huge score difference, like, to get through, no?
Yeah, they're minus 17. Although, Golden are minus 17.
You know, Laura could turn it on again in the last group stage, so that could help him out as well, you know, and run up another big score.
Yes, Berlin, yeah.
So it's definitely all to play for there. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to breeze through these games. I think you see it time and time again, the red hot favourites, and they might come unstuck then when the ground gets a bit softer late September, early October, or the scores will definitely tighten up. Like,
is there an outcome there in that group that if Carrick beat Golden? Sorry, who's playing who again?
Carrick playing Golden. Carrick beat Golden, they'll be on 2. And if Laura beat Berlin, they'll be 3 points and 2 points.
And Borlatton could potentially go through even if they lose the match.
Yes, correct. Yeah, score difference.
That's probably the most likely. Yeah. So,
yeah. Again, yeah. So,
just avoid a heavy defeat. Yeah. That's all they kind of do, maybe.
Their goal, yeah. And
I hope Carrick. Yeah, I hope Devon's get a few points over Golden.
And then, I don't even want to go into relegation on that front conversations there. Like,
So, like, yeah, we don't have enough time, and we don't have enough calculators, I think, between us to kind of go into sorting out the relegation. That one. But we just say it's all to play for there. And Laura certainly have made their mark this year. So, gents, that's a good wrap up of the first three tier competitions. I'm out there, Finn, and now to watch our under 19s play South semi final against Swan. So,
is there light on there? Is there?
There's not, and I hope there's not extra time. Otherwise,
bring the cars in the bank.
Get the cars out. I wouldn't be delighted. I was watching the junior games yesterday, and I was hoping that none of them go to extra time, because, you know, all 7 o'clock thrones, none of them did anyway. So, but look, the law of averages, you can see this game, you know, this is going to be a tight game, I'd say. So, if it goes to extra time, I don't know what they're going to do.
Can't wait for a message now, 9 o'clock tonight. Fucking match pending, can't see the ball.
Really fucked things up the secretary there, lads. Didn't request a 6:30 throwing, but yeah. So look, we'll touch base again after the last round of the game. So thanks, Enda. Thanks, Sean.
Cheers, guys.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.